Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being joined now by Bob Nightingale. Covers Major League Baseball better than anybody else and covers it for USA Today. Bob, thanks for taking a few minutes to hang out with the Killer Bees here in Houston. Astros have been very aggressive this offseason. They re-signed Rafael Montero, one of their own. People thought it was higher than market value. Same thing with Jose Abreu, getting that done a couple of days ago. How are the Astros being so active with no general manager here, Bob?
Well, I just think there's the strong desire from ownership on down, from Jim Crane on down, to keep this thing going, to build a dynasty. I mean, it already is. From 2017 to now, brings you back to the Yankee days from 96 to 2001. So, they're doing everything possible to try to go back-to-back here, which hasn't been done since the 80s.
Bob, what's your opinion on the fact that, from Bagwell's comments the other day to a lot of other people's comments, that letting James Click go was a travesty and shouldn't have been done, and that since then, if they're going to move away from analytics and get more Reggie Jackson and Bagwell input, that this could actually hurt the Astros in going forward? But I'm curious your opinions on what you think about how it's being run right now and how long they'll continue to do this without a general manager.
Well, you got still several, assistant GMs in place there, along with Bagwell helping out. They're in place too, when they when James Click was there. So I don't think they're getting away from the analytics. They're just saying, hey, let's don't go overboard on this. We want to we believe in the clubhouse culture, we believe in the guy's heart and stuff. I mean, how many guys look good on paper? You put him in the clubhouse, and the guy just doesn't work out, or he doesn't have the heart for big moments and things like that. I think it's all what Bagwell was saying, that hey, they're still believing in analytics like everybody else, but they're not going to go just fully on analytics.
Bob, you've been reporting this, that the Astros will meet with Wilson Contreras once the winter meetings open up. Obviously, they had a trade for Wilson Contreras at the deadline for Jose Urquidy. Crane said, no, we're not doing that right now. But they must like Contreras enough to where they're entertaining the idea of him joining the Astros this offseason. I'm curious how the Astros view Contreras. Are they signing him to be the backstop, to be the catcher, to replace Martin Maldonado? Or do they see him more as a left fielder DH?
I think more as a catcher DH. I'm not sure how he'd play left field. I don't see that. I know it's a small left field, but I'd rather have Jordan Alvarez there than him. So, maybe split the time sort of thing. They need more offense at that position. I think the big resistance trading for Contreras at the trade deadline was just putting a new catcher in, behind the plate to work with a pitching staff he's never worked with before. There's a lot of risk to that. The bottom line is, the pitching was the bread and butter. So why mess with that? And any bonus as a offense, was fine coming from Maldonado, but they certainly wanted Maldonado to still be, that everyday guy or, primary guy down the stretch in a pennant race.
Bob, how do you see the Verlander situation playing out? Rumors are it's between the Dodgers and the Astros, including his brother stating that on a podcast, but I'm curious if you think that the Astros are going to put everything on pause now after the Abreu signing to wait and see if Verlander's coming back or not. Are they going to continue to spend? And if Verlander comes back, they'll just go that much further over the tax.
Yeah, I think if Verlander comes back, it's great for them. I just don't see them going big on Verlander. If he gets a 3-year deal for, like 130 like Scherzer did, I don't think they'll do that. They really don't. I think they'll let him walk. And, I think Scherzer has a lot of Verlander has a lot of appeal in L.A. and the Mets, too, if they lose to Grom. I also think, too, is that, Justin Verlander, he fell in love with Houston. But, hey, when he won two World Series there, won two Cy Youngs there. Sometimes guys want different challenges. And I think, the Dodgers or the Mets would provide more challenges. I think there's a greater need for both the Dodgers and Mets to have Verlander than the Astros. I think the Astros can still win the division without him.
Yeah, Bob, I think if anybody's paying me $45 million a year, I can fall in love with that city. And it's not like L.A. and New York's exactly chopped liver. So I don't think Verlander would have any problem living in the Big Apple or out in Hollywood. What are some other names that the Astros might be kicking the tires on? They mentioned during the press conference when they introduced Jose Abreu, Crane mentioned catcher. Maybe that is Contreras. He mentioned an outfielder as well. What are some names the Astros are rumored to be having some conversations with?
Well, I think there's a lot of talk about Andrew Benintendi, you know, grabbing him from the Yankees, strong outfielder, good offensive force. I know they've kicked the tires, at least internally, guys like, Cody Bellinger, Brandon Nimmo, that sort of thing. You know, Nimmo, of course, would come at a high price tag, you know, probably over $100 million, where they're, obviously Bellinger would be a one-year deal. And, Benintendi would be a much smaller contract, too. So I do believe they just want, we'd love to get an everyday, outfielder, whether it's in center field or left field.
Masataka Yoshida. I'm curious about this name, Bob. Somebody that I'm very intrigued with. I don't know how his game is going to translate. I think we'd all be guessing if we were trying to figure out what he's going to look like in the bigs. I know they mentioned that he might translate better than Suzuki did last year, with the Cubs. What are you hearing on Yoshida? What kind of posting number are we looking at? What kind of contract do you think he ultimately gets?
Yeah, I mean, everybody needs pitching. So, guys like that, two draw fans the gate. Not that I don't think the Astros are going to have any trouble drawing fans. So, it'll be interesting what he gets, whether it's a, 5 years around $100 million type thing or what have you. It's almost impossible to guess in the guys that come from Japan just, what they'll get, where they want to, come anywhere else besides, out west. A lot of guys would prefer staying on the West Coast just because it's easier for the travel and for their family and stuff to come and see him.
Bob, I'm curious of some of the biggest names that are out there. What are the most likely to change destinations? Judge, you mentioned DeGrom. There's some big names that could be some pretty, pretty influential names if they joined other teams. But are we going to see a lot of status quo, or could an Aaron Judge and a Jacob DeGrom find new locations?
Yeah, I think the biggest name that will change, not for sure, but most likely be Trey Turner. I think he leaves the Dodgers and goes out east. Probably goes to Philadelphia Phillies. I do think he leaves the Dodgers. I don't think DeGrom stays with the Mets either. There's just a vibe over the last 2 years. You heard a lot of talk that he wasn't crazy about New York. So I could see him leaving as well. Judge, I still think he goes back to the Yankees, but I think it's like a 60-40. I mean, if the Giants are going to have to get him, they're going to have to, overpay the Yankees by a good, I would think, $20 or $30 million. So, Judge is going to get about an 8-year deal. Somewhere, the Yankees have talked about between 290 and 310. Now, if the Giants want to come in about 325 or higher, then they may get them.
You think it's good business, Bob, to pay somebody in their 30s north of $300 million, guarantee him 8 years, as good as Judge is?
I mean, he's had injuries in the past. He didn't have injuries last year. He is a draw. For the Giants' standpoint, their attendance has been dropping. I think their attendance last year was their lowest for full season since the ballpark opened. They need some thump there. I mean, his bat's perfect for the Yankee Stadium. If you're an icon in New York, you switch places like Robinson Cano found out, then you're just a regular guy. It's probably never good business to put out that kind of money for a position player or a pitcher for that length, but the cost of doing business, and it's just money. It's not like you're trading away top prospects too. You're just giving them money.
Bob, of the remaining Astros free agents, I'm curious if you've heard anything. We're assuming Vasquez is gone and he's going to be an everyday catcher somewhere, and if so, where? And then a Yuli Gurriel at 39 years old, is there going to be interest for him? Are the Astros have a shot to have him be their more utility guy and start go from starter to bench guy, or is some team going to give him a chance to play first base?
Yeah, Vasquez, there's a decent amount of interest out there. I think they're just kind of waiting to see what happens to Contreras. So once Contreras decides where he goes, then I think he's got, you know, he's the next best option. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see it's almost a flip flop of catchers. You know, where the Astros get Contreras, who is with the Cubs, then the Cubs grab Vasquez, who of course is with the Astros. I can see that. Gurriel's, you know, then he's going to decide, hey, but you want to be a utility player and, you know, get some, you know, at least 300 at bats, or do you want to still be an everyday player somewhere else? So I think that one takes a while. I'd be surprised if there's any early decision with Gurriel.
You think Brantley takes a while too? I know Crane has mentioned that they want to monitor his recovery with the shoulder. Are you hearing anything on his market?
No, you know, I know he wants to, you know, continue playing at least another year. So, you know, that one might be a deal where he signs for a smaller base contract with a lot of incentives and, you know, performance bonuses to see if he can stay healthy. You know, that was a serious injury and everything else. And, you know, he may be a late signing as well, too, where he may have to show people sometime during the winter that he is healthy.
We always appreciate the time, Bob. Great stuff as always. You're knocking it out of the park with all this hot stove stuff. We've been reading every word. Keep up the great work and hope to chat again very soon.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
It's Bob Nightingale. Covers Major League Baseball better than anybody else, and he does it for USA Today. Justin Verlander, the dilemma that the Astros have. Apparently, Ben Verlander yesterday said on his podcast that it was either going to be the Dodgers or the Astros. What that means, and how about Bob saying the Astros won't go big on him? Is that the right way to handle it? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.